The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. John and Lance being joined right now by Drew Bledsoe, former number one overall pick in 1993. Played a bunch of years in the NFL, 14 seasons. And he's joining us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Drew, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, man. It's funny, man. You say that, and it's, all of a sudden it seems like it was a long time ago, man. I don't know how that happened. I still feel like I could get out there and throw it around, but it's almost 30 years ago I was drafted.
How about, and I was looking you up and I saw your age and I was like, what? Bledsoe's what now?
I know.
It's unbelievable how it flies by. So just before we came on, RJ told me you got your own wine. We've talked about, we've had Dick Vermeil on. He's got a nice wine. Jim Nance has the calling. What's your wine?
It's called Doubleback, man. I grew up here in this little town in Walla Walla, Washington, and while I was off playing ball, became known as one of the greatest wine grape growing regions of the world. And so when I was done, I doubled back and came back home. So that's the name of the that's where the name comes from. Grew up there. Well, I played ball, doubled back, and came back home. And it's we've been top 100 wines in the world a couple different times. It's been a good thing for us, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Doubleback Wine. I'm looking it up right now. I'm going to order me some. Doubleback Winery. That's Drew Bledsoe's wine. Is it come out nice? You liked it? You like how it's come out?
Yeah, it's been good for us, man. We make primarily Cabernet, and we're taking down all the big boys from Napa and Bordeaux. We'll take the Pepsi challenge with any of those wines that are four and five times more expensive than we are, Yeah, it's fun, man. When you can do something in your hometown and compete on a world stage, it makes it a lot of fun.
That's cool. Drew Bledsoe with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And you're still out west. I got a question for you. I know it's USC, but Lincoln Riley there now. After the Pac-12 has just been an afterthought in college football for a few years now, does the tide rise with Lincoln Riley showing up at USC?
You know, as much as it pains me to say it, I went to Washington State, and USC was always kind of the evil empire, right? But in order for the Pac-12 to really be relevant again, I think we need USC to be good, and I think they're going to be good. Now, that may not bode well for some of the other teams in the Pac-12, but I it's been really frustrating, for me to watch the Pac-12 for the last, I don't know, last few years. They just really have not been very relevant and haven't deserved to be. They just haven't been playing very good football. So, as much as it pains me to say it, I'm excited to watch USC and what they become over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think it's, Drew, I'm out here in L.A. right now, and I was talking to yesterday to Maurice Jones-Drew and Willie McGinest. One guy, of course, went to UCLA, and Willie went to USC. And it is a big, Pac-12, they're at right now, there is a level of, they consider it to be disrespect of the Pac-12. And there's definitely you tell me, there seems to be a concern from Pac-12 former players, and I'm sure some alumni, that the Pac-12 is not currently in the standing that they want to be in the rest of the football community. I mean, it's been taken over by the SEC, clearly. And I get the sense that there's a strong, strong desire for someone, anyone, to get back in the national conversation on a regular basis from this conference.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Oregon's been kind of in the conversation a little bit. USC hasn't really been USC now for a while, and so, as much as it sucks for Washington State to see those programs really rise to that level of football, I just think it's necessary for at least one of those teams to make a run and at least get into the Final Four. I mean, shoot, we haven't had much representation. It seems like that's been almost all SEC for the last few years in the national championship tourney. So. It'll be interesting to watch. I just want us to be relevant. It's kind of a bummer, man. When I go travel the world to go sell wine. I get out east, and man, nobody even knows we exist anymore. So hopefully, hopefully we get back into that conversation.
Yeah. How much do you miss Leach and Gardner and the Gardner Minshew days?
You know, Gardner, my son was up there while Gardner was there and got to know that guy. It's funny. I was just saying yesterday, I was with one of my agents. There are only two guys from Washington State that that I've really gone to bat for, you know, and called GMs and teams that I know. One was River Craycraft, who's now with the Dolphins. I was begging people to give him a chance. But after being around Gardner Minshew at Wazoo, I called, I think, three or four different teams. They're like, hey, look, you just want this guy in your locker room. Just get him in your locker room. You'll love him. Sure enough, you know, he goes down there to Jacksonville in a really tough situation and played so great. He, in just one season at Washington State, he became absolutely beloved up there. Absolutely love the guy, and I know that he's going to be around the NFL for a long time. I hope he gets a chance to get back on the field here at some point.
Drew Bledsoe with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Draft week, Drew. What is this? It's different this year because there's no for sure number one guy. You were the guy in 93. What's this week like for the guys that are waiting to get picked?
It's so exciting, man. I mean, think about it. You know, for most young men in the United States, and I think probably worldwide, the dream of becoming a professional athlete is something that's on your mind from the time you're playing ball at recess when you're young, and you know you work hard your whole life and go through college and all this stuff, and all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at this week, you're like, wow, this is actually going to be real. I'm actually going to be a professional athlete. It's really exciting, and then it's also nerve-wracking, though, because you think you know, and you hear information that your agent and different teams are telling you, and so on. But I think for a lot of guys, you know, you don't really know until you know, and you're always worried that you're going to be one of those stories where you're sitting there with the camera on you and all your family and friends around you, and they never call. So it's a little bit nerve-wracking from that standpoint, but it's just such an exciting thing, man. It's the realization of a dream for the guys that actually get to have their name called.
When did it become, you know, I think at every point in a professional, you tell me, does there become a time where it goes from being this exciting, I couldn't believe, you know, this is all such a whirlwind, to it becomes a profession and it becomes a task, like a chore you have to get through? Did you ever get to that stage of your career where there was a turning point where it was maybe not as fun but more of a job?
You know, there were parts of it that became that way. You know, like once you've been in the league for, you know, for 10 years, you know, the first 2 weeks of training camp, it just, you know, just doesn't feel very necessary. You know, you're doing things like, you know, being taught how to line up in the huddle and what the formations are. Like, wait a second, you know, I could just show up. Matter of fact, I told my agent later in my career, I was like, hey, I want to hold out. I don't want any more money or anything. I just don't want to go the first 2 weeks of training camp. Just get me out of training camp. But I did always appreciate, right to the end of my career, I appreciated how special it was, the thing that we got to do. You know, today, my last couple seasons were with the Cowboys, and when we're walking down the tunnel, you know, to go out and be introduced for a game, I would always find a rookie, and I'd grab him by the back of the shoulder pads as we're walking down the tunnel, I would say, hey, man, how cool is this? This is what we get to do. This is our job. And so for me, I never really lost how special that was that we got to do that. But there certainly were pieces of it that became, that actually became work. And, you know, and then the business side of pro sports, it is what it is. You know, at a certain level, you become a commodity on the business side. But the game is still the game, and it's always special.
Where was your favorite place to play?
You know, there were great things about all three places. But the one that I think surprises people so much, you know, is that we really enjoyed our time in Buffalo. It was like playing pro ball in a college town when you're up there. Now, the weather's atrocious. You know, the weather's absolutely awful most of the time during football season. But the fans are super loyal. And, you know, after practice, I'd go drive through kind of the rolling hills and farm country. And it was an easy place to play. And outside of the weather, it was just an absolutely great place to play. You know, and then being down in Dallas, and, you know, when you're playing quarterback for the Cowboys, you kind of, it's kind of like you're pitching for the Yankees. People either love you or hate you, but there's no ambivalence about the Cowboys. I discovered that really quickly when we get down there.
Do you have opinions? Can you believe this much time has passed, and you're still tied to Tom Brady after 2001?
Yeah, no, I wish he'd find a hobby, man. He should find something else he wants to do. But no, it is kind of funny. I just was talking about that, you know, yesterday. You know, the kid came on the field, you know, because I almost died, and you know, so it's like, you know, I had a pretty nice career. I almost died, and then that's you know, it's the thing that people want to tie me to the most is that he came in after I did.
Right.
But I am proud of the guy, though. I tell him all the time, I'm proud of what he's accomplished, but I'm more proud of the way that he's done it. He's always handled himself with such class and such dignity that you know, that makes it easy to cheer for him, even though ultimately he didn't understand what the word backup meant. You know, when you're the backup, you're supposed to go sit back down when the starter gets healthy, and he never quite got the message on that. But he's gone on to be such an amazing quarterback. But he's just always handled everything that he's done with complete class, and that makes me proud of him.
That's Drew Bledsoe. Double Back Winery. Double Back. I'm looking at a couple of cabs. Really nice. One is Drew. Yeah, one's pretty pricey right there. That must be your premier, huh?
Yeah, that Estate Reserve. That one sells out. It's funny. It's our most expensive one, and it also sells out the fastest. That's one of the, you know, if you listen to the critics, look at the critics, it's always up there, you know, with the very, very top wines in the world. Our Double Back Cabernet is also just right there with it. But that's a little bit less expensive. But I believe that one is now sold out as well. So it's one of those things, you know, we're not trying to be the biggest, but we are trying to make truly great wine. And we've got a great team doing it. We do everything, man. We own the dirt. We have our own farming company. We make the wine, and then we have what now? Four wine bars. So we do everything from the dirt all the way to the glass. This is not a trivial thing, man. It's a real business. It's pretty fun.
Neat. Got to go up there and visit if that's such a great wine place, for sure.
It's pretty cool, man. It's a little farm town, but there are 130 wineries, and now the restaurant scene has followed it. There's great, great food, and then if you like golf, we've got a couple of really killer golf courses that are kind of out in the fields out there. So it's a cool place to come visit now.
I love all that. All that is me. All that
You're
is
not
me right
invited.
There.
You're
all right,
invited.
I'm in.
Stop.
That's Drew Bledsoe right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks for your time, man. We really appreciate it. Best of luck with the wine.
Right on. Thanks for having me on, guys. See
all
you.
Right. Drew Bledsoe right here, ESPN 97.5 and golf and wine, Lance, and wine and, yeah, and stuff. I mean, and hotels and restaurants. Okay. I'm all in.
I don't hear something in there. There's something missing.
Coors Light. I'll throw some Coors Lights in there, too. But yeah, don't worry. Sure. I can throw down some wines, too. Coors Light isn't jealous. They don't mind me drinking some wine, too. All right, 9:46. When we come back, news of the weird. It's really, really weird. Can we have Disney in Texas? One judge wants it that way. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.